and welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee with the Center for Science and Culture. Today we have on the show with us Casey Luskin, Research Coordinator at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. He holds both a law degree from the University of San Diego and a master's degree in earth sciences from the University of California at San Diego. Casey is a contributor to Debating Darwin's Doubt, which is a collection of responses to critics of Stephen Meyer's book, Darwin's Doubt. Debating Darwin's Doubt is set to be released this summer, and Casey is here today to discuss the book with us. Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's great to be with you, Sarah.
Today we will be discussing the response from Donald Prothero and also the book The Cambrian Explosion by Douglas Irwin and James Valentine. Casey, can you tell us who Donald Prothero is?
Donald Prothero is a geologist at Occidental College, or at least I think he used to be at Occidental College in Los Angeles. I'm not sure if he's still there, but he's a very prolific writer. He's written quite a few books, textbooks, in fact, on the topic of evolution. I actually used one of Prothero's textbooks when I was in college, taking a course in evolution. So he's a well-known scientist and a very well-known author.
What were some of Prothero's personal attacks on Stephen Meyer's credentials, and how were they hypocritical?
Yeah, this was a bit amusing. Unfortunately, Donald Prothero has a real preference for what you might call personal attacks or ad hominem attacks. And that certainly came through in his review of Darwin's Doubt. It was sort of, in many ways, it was kind of like a rant. You can read some of the rant details if you want to get the book Debating Darwin's Doubt and read chapter 22. But one of his personal attacks against Meyer was that Meyer lacks a PhD in the sciences, and he says that this gives him, quote, absolutely no background to talk about molecular evolution. Now, this is called the genetic fallacy, where you are attacking the source of an argument rather than the argument itself. That doesn't actually address Meyer's arguments. And in fact, his undergraduate degrees in geology and physics, he worked as a geophysicist, giving him some formal training on geology-related issues, which of course are the primary issues that Prothero, as a geologist, raises in his review. Now, what's funny, though, is that in another book that Prothero wrote, he actually admitted that you don't need a PhD to do good science and understand what's going on in the scientific community. He says, you don't need a PhD to do good science, and not all people who have PhDs are good scientists either. As those of us who have gone through the ordeal know, a PhD only proves that you can survive a grueling test of endurance in doing research and writing a dissertation on a very narrow topic. It doesn't prove that you're smarter than anyone else or more qualified to render an opinion than anyone else. Now, that's sort of the opposite of what Prothero says against Meyer. But again, don't necessarily expect consistency from Prothero. At one point, he rails about the fact that, quote unquote, creationists love to flaunt their PhDs on their book covers. So I can only guess that means that Meyer is not a creationist, since he doesn't mention his PhD on the cover of Darwin's Doubt. So I don't know. These are just sort of, in my opinion, some incoherent arguments that really don't have anything to do with whether Meyer is right or wrong.
Did Prothero make any other personal attacks against Meyer?
Yes, he did. And I'm not going to disgrace the ID of the Future podcast by going through all the accusations of distortions and blunders and other moral failings of Donald Prothero. You can read about those in our response to Donald Prothero.
Moving on to Prothero's arguments, what did he say about the Ediacaran fauna, and was he correct?
Yeah, Prothero accuses Stephen Meyer. He says he dismisses the Ediacara fauna as not clearly related to living phyla. Now, what's interesting is that Meyer does not at all dismiss the Ediacara fauna. In fact, he has an entire chapter that's almost entirely devoted to discussing these enigmatic fossils in Darwin's Doubt. And what Stephen Meyer does is he reviews what many paleontology experts are saying, and really the consensus view is that they are not clearly related to living phyla. It's not at all clear that they are ancestral to the animals that appear in the Cambrian period. They're quite different from those animals, and most people think that they're sort of these enigmatic forms, and we're not really sure how they fit in. But really, the consensus view is what Meyer described them as, that they are not clearly ancestral to the Cambrian animals. So I found it odd that Prothero would object to Meyer's book for saying that, when in fact what Meyer said really is, I think, the consensus view.
Interesting. What did Prothero say about God of the Gaps and the definition of intelligent design, and was he correct?
Here we saw that Prothero really badly misstated the proper definition of intelligent design. He wrongly charges that ID is a God of the Gaps argument that invokes the quote-unquote supernatural, when ID does no such thing. And in fact, Meyer certainly does no such thing in his books. He actually explicitly rebuts the God of the Gaps charge in his prior book, Signature in the Cell. And if you read Darwin's Doubt, you'll find very clearly that he's not making a gaps-based argument. He's making many positive arguments for design based upon what we know intelligent agents are capable of doing. It's not based upon saying, oh, we don't know the answer, so we're going to infer design or God or whatever. He's saying we do know what produces the kind of sequence-specific lines of code, the kinds of circuit-based hierarchical goal-directed systems that we see in living organisms, and the only source that does that is intelligence.
What did Prothero claim Myers said regarding the abruptness of the Cambrian explosion and the molecular data? And was his claim correct?
Yes, this was another case where really Prothero was putting words in Myers' mouth. He claimed that Myers said that the Cambrian animals appeared, quote, all at once. Now, of course, Meyer never says that the Cambrian animals appeared all at once. And in fact, Meyer also offers a lengthy discussion of the molecular data where he deals with the charge that the molecular data show a very long, slow, gradual evolution of animals. And if you read chapters 5 and 6 in Darwin's Doubt, and I certainly hope that Prothero did because his review doesn't really seem like he was aware that Meyer had this discussion in the book. If you read chapters 5 and 6, you'll see that Stephen Meyer talks about how many people have tried to say, look, the fossil record might not show a gradual evolution of animals, but the molecular data does. And what Meyer shows in chapters 5 and 6 is that evolutionary biologists have been unable to reconstruct a clearly defined animal tree of life. And to resolve their inability to construct an animal tree, they've actually gone back to appealing to the rapid and abrupt evolution of animals. So the molecular data, ironically, has got you right back to where the fossil data is, basically the abrupt appearance of animals and a difficulty showing how they're ancestrally related to one another.
Are we seeing a pattern in Prothero's description of Meyer's arguments and Meyer's actual argument?
Yeah, I think we do see a repeating pattern. Essentially, Prothero would repeatedly put words in Meyer's mouth that he didn't say, and then ignore what Meyer actually said, and ignore with the fact that in many cases, Meyer dealt extensively with the arguments that Prothero is raising already in the book Darwin's Doubt.
Moving to a different source, let's talk about the book The Cambrian Explosion by Douglas Irwin and James Valentine. What did they say about the length of the Cambrian explosion?
This is really interesting that we're contrasting Irwin and Valentine's book, The Cambrian Explosion, with Prothero's review. And the reason why is Prothero says at the end of his review, look, if you want a real book, this is a paraphrase, if you want a real book about the Cambrian Explosion, then read The Cambrian Explosion by Irwin and Valentine. And my response is, yes, definitely read The Cambrian Explosion by Irwin and Valentine. Heck yeah, read that book. The reason why is, for one, there are huge authorities in Cambrian paleontology. And it's a fabulous book. It has wonderful, gorgeous artwork that shows what many of these Cambrian animals look like. Second, it's probably the most current and up-to-date full-on treatment of the Cambrian explosion from an evolutionary perspective. So you'll find no better source for that view. However, what it turns out is that in many cases, Irwin and Valentine actually agreed with Stephen Meyer over Donald Prothero when it comes to sort of the fossil record and the paleontological nature of the Cambrian explosion. So you asked about Irwin and Valentine's views about the length of the Cambrian explosion. And they basically define the Cambrian explosion as a, quote, geologically brief interval between about 530 to 520 million years ago, early in the Cambrian period. Now, that's very different from how Donald Prothero defines it. Prothero defines it as this 80 million year period that extends very far back into the pre-Cambrian. But Irwin and Valentine basically define the Cambrian explosion in exactly the same way that Meyer does. So I think as far as what the Cambrian explosion was, how long it was, they're on Stephen Meyer's side rather than Donald Prothero's.
What did Irwin and Valentine say about the reality of the Cambrian explosion? How does that conflict with Prothero's view?
So Prothero basically thinks that the Cambrian explosion is merely, quote, an artifact of preservation, that it's really not a real event in the fossil record. It just appears to be real because of our imperfect fossil record that we have. But Irwin and Valentine take a very different view. They actually say that there are several lines of evidence that are consistent with what they call, quote, the reality of the Cambrian explosion. So they think that the Cambrian explosion was a real event in the history of life where there was an abrupt appearance of many diverse forms of animals. And if you read through their book, I mean, they talk about this all over the place in their book. In fact, this is one of the reasons why they say that the Cambrian explosion has been so difficult for evolutionary biology to explain, is because it's not just normal, gradual, slow evolution. There's something rapid and abrupt happening here that's very different. So as far as the reality of the Cambrian explosion and whether it's just an artifact of an imperfect fossil record or whether it was a real event in the history of life, again, they squarely come down on Meyer's side that it was a real event in the history of life.
How about the rates of evolution during the Cambrian explosion?
Yeah, so this is another example where Irwin and Valentine squarely come down on Meyer's side. Donald Prothero says in his review that, quote, scientists have explained most of the events of the early Cambrian and find nothing out of the ordinary that defies scientific explanation. But Irwin and Valentine throughout the book talk about how extraordinary the Cambrian explosion is and how unlike today's geological and evolutionary processes it is. They even say that they are skeptical that, quote, uniformitarian explanations can be applied to understand the Cambrian explosion. And they say that in the Cambrian explosion, quote, the scale of morphological divergence is wholly incommensurate with that seen in other adaptive radiations, unquote. So really, they say that something quite extraordinary was happening and that the rates of the evolutionary process were very high. They say that there was, quote, an unusual period of evolutionary activity during the early and middle Cambrian. So again, you see that they are on Meyer's side when it comes to whether the Cambrian explosion was an unusual event that is not explained by normal evolutionary processes. In fact, Prothero tries to make it sound like scientists have already fully explained the Cambrian explosion, but Irwin and Valentine concede that the Cambrian poses, quote, two unresolved questions. And those questions are, first, what evolutionary process produced the gaps between the morphologies of major clades? And second, why have the morphological boundaries of these body plans remained relatively stable over the past half a billion years? So essentially, they say that it's an unresolved question to talk about what evolutionary processes produced the abrupt appearance of all these diverse body plans in the Cambrian. That's still a problem that they think scientists have not resolved. Now, of course, Irwin and Valentine do not support intelligent design, and nor would we ever claim that they did. They're both fully committed to unguided evolutionary explanations. And like Prothero, they think that evolutionary biology holds all the answers. But when it comes to sort of the mechanics of the Cambrian explosion, how long it was, whether it's a real event in the history of life, and whether it can be explained by normal evolutionary mechanisms, here I would say they actually come down on Meyer's side rather than Prothero's side, despite the fact that Prothero tries to make it sound otherwise.
Casey, did Prothero reply to your review?
Yeah, he did. And it was funny. He really, I think, didn't like the fact that I cited so many quotes from Irwin and Valentine showing that they agreed with Meyer's interpretation of the paleontology of the Cambrian explosion rather than his. And so he said that I was claiming that Douglas Irwin was a creationist. And he even emailed Douglas Irwin and asked him, do you agree with Casey Luskin calling you a creationist? And of course, Douglas Irwin said no. The problem is I never said that Irwin was a creationist. I never claimed anything like that. I never claimed that Irwin was pro-intelligent design either. In fact, I think I went out of my way in my review to make it clear that these two evolutionary paleontologists are not pro-intelligent design. What I did claim was that Irwin agreed with Meyer that the Cambrian explosion was really a 5 to 10 million year event, that it was a real event, and that it involved much higher rates of evolution than we see elsewhere in the fossil record that really challenge a standard uniformitarian explanation. And on those counts, I think Irwin came down on Meyer's side rather than Prothero's. But you can get all the details about this in Darwin's Doubt. We have both a chapter reviewing Prothero's review and also that goes into a lot of detail about Irwin and Valentine's book, The Cambrian Explosion. You can learn a lot about what they have to say. And again, I recommend picking up their book, The Cambrian Explosion is the title, if you're interested in really probably the definitive and most up-to-date evolutionary take on the Cambrian Explosion.
To read more about Prothero's arguments and our responses to that, as well as The Cambrian Explosion by Douglas Irwin and James Valentine, pick up Debating Darwin's Doubt. Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm Sarah Chaffee with ID the Future. Stay tuned for more with Casey Luskin on the book Debating Darwin's Doubt.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture.
ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.